Full of Sound and Fury is a podcast for adults, by adults, containing adult language. Listener discretion is advised.
It is Immortan Trump.
Oh, Jesus.
Oh, that is amazing. Why did I ever think of that?
Hey, did any of you guys see where they took the old Obama logo and turned it upside down and made it a Trump logo?
Yeah,
yes.
I did see that.
God, that was... What a genius saw that.
This new election cycle is it's heartbreaking on one level, but it looks like it's going to be pretty damn funny.
Well, that's true. Except we don't have Jon Stewart guiding us through it.
True. Well,
yeah,
we do have...
He's kind of like the Gandalf of politics.
He's only gone for a while. He's fighting a Balrog. And,
fighting, not wizarding.
Good point.
And on that callback, welcome back to the next episode of Full of Sound and Fury Podcast. I'm Cyrus Mordezavi. I'm all over the internet, but mostly I can be found at risingproductions.tumblr.com. And I'm recording currently from Kirkland, Washington with two of my besties. Currently hanging out in Iowa before making the trek to California as Riyadh Wabi.
Hey, what's up?
Also with us from the Deep South, the ATX, Keyshawn Xavier.
Howdy!
Nice.
Yeah.
I thought I'd bring something different.
Yeah, that sounded like, do y'all remember that?
Cousin Fuckers. Yeah, I remember those.
Yes. Do y'all remember that,
Beverly Hillbillies?
The Simpsons video game for Super Nintendo called Bart's Nightmare?
No.
I remember of it.
Oh, my. So there was a level in there where you were swimming in Bart's bloodstream, and you had to, defeat these, antibodies or whatever.
You're nuts.
Yes. You have to defeat the antibodies by, like, blowing them up in a sort of Dig Dug style. And then there was Smiling Joe Fission, and you'd have to, like, capture him, and he would, like, eventually release one page of Bart's homework. And so the whole game was, like, retrieving from Bart's dreams his lost homework. And so, like, when you finally died, you would get a grade for your whole... It was a fun game. Anyhow, that howdy reminded me of Smiling Joe Fission, who would say, "Hi there!" in just so. And
I think I remember that character from the television series.
Yeah, exactly. He was in some educational video or something, right?
I'm gonna put this as a mental note in podcast form. We need to do a Simpsons episode at some point.
Yeah, we really
that
do.
That show has been going for a quarter of a fucking century, and we should talk that up at some point. It's a promise to the listeners, a sacred pact. But tonight, Keyshawn is going to take us through Force Friday.
Oh, well, I got to say, I didn't do it the way I used to do it, where I, go to Toys R Us 24 hours before and camp out and all that kind of insanity, because I'm just too old. And I spent far too much time commiserating over the fact that I'm just too old to do that shit.
But that's quite okay, though.
It worked out like a charm. It worked out like a charm, because thank God for Target. They opened up at 8 a.m. And so I took my youngest, or no, not my youngest son, my younger son, along with me. He's 5, the perfect age for this. And also a great excuse. I could say, "Hey, I'm here for him," and proceed him to shove him aside as soon as possible, get to the toys. We managed to get in and have free reign over a ton of stuff, and got that little BB-8 toy that everybody loves, and a plethora of toys, if you will. Lots of neat, interesting information that has leaked out from the toys. And just between you and me, and America.
And America.
And all of the information is jiving with all the spoilers that I've heard so far. And so all the spoilers that I've heard so far suggest that it's going to be a good movie. And so it's even more encouraging when the stuff I'm seeing is like, hey, all right, that actually matches up with the plot that I've
heard. You get a confirmation there.
Exactly. And yeah. Lots of confirmation, not just a little bit. Even so much as to say that the trailers so far really haven't had much dialogue at all. It's been mostly Star Wars music and badass pictures, right? And I think Chewie were home.
There's that awesome voiceover from Hamill from Jedi.
Uh-huh.
And then it was just a great effect, I would argue.
No, that wasn't from Jedi.
It's not?
No. Go back and listen. Because that's why I love it, is that it's a wink and a nod to Jedi, because it's the same kind of line, but it goes to the new place. Part of the new movie, and he's saying, I'm not going to say to who, but he's saying the Force runs strong in my family. My father has it, which is interesting because he's saying has, not had. He says has.
Then
he says, I have it. Or no, my sister has it. I have it. And you have it too. Yeah. That's new.
Oh, I did not realize that.
Hails, yeah.
Spoiler. But all right, I'll take it.
Oh.
Get me firing.
Oh. And a bunch of people online are wondering why he says has it instead of had it.
May I pause it?
Sure.
And we're going to get Ghost Anakin.
Well, that's what I'm thinking, too, because that makes more sense of why you would use Hayden Christensen's ghost in Return of the Jedi over the old Sebastian Shaw's. Because Sebastian Shaw's dead. You're not going to get any more ghosts out of him. So, having Hayden Christensen. Oh, so
can I tell you I had no idea what the fuck that guy's name was?
Really?
No.
Thought everybody knew. He's famous.
I thought that was the Black King of the Hellfire Club, man.
He was. You're right. That's where they got the name. It's a badass name. You got to use it more than once.
True.
So some of the toys have dialogue.
They brought that voice chip thing back, huh?
No, it's far better than the voice chip, because the voice chips, when those came out with episode one, it wasn't even the real actors' voices. And they could only hold so much. These are larger figures, not the 3 3/4, but larger figures, and IGN got the big scoop where they basically put their microphone up to these toys and played every sound that they say. There is you can find it online, and there's just a lot of good dialogue going on from Kylo Ren and Finn and what's her name? Hang on,
Brienne of Tarth.
That's what I keep on wanting to say. It's Captain Phasma, which is Brienne of Tarth.
Okay.
But Captain Phasma's lines aren't that good. It's like, let me inspect your weapon and shit like this. But Kylo Ren says all sorts of good stuff. Kylo Ren saying, "Tell me," or something like, "Tell me you're more than you're just a scavenger." And then I'm immune to the light. And what else? There's some other good stuff. I don't want to spoil it all if y'all are not going to hear that stuff. Finn's stuff is more, duck, get down, turn up the shields, that kind of thing. So you can't really tell too much from there. By the way, I'm rattling off these names because I'm trying to train myself to know them. But do you even know what the hell I'm talking about when I say Finn and Kylo Ren Captain Phasma?
Finn is the black clone trooper, correct?
John Boyega, yeah.
Yeah.
Not a clone trooper, stormtrooper.
Oh, that's a good point. Otherwise, he would look like everyone else did.
Well, there might be a bunch of John Boyegas.
I believe the lady.
Every once in a while.
Is Theresa Rice's character? Or I'm not even sure I'm saying the actress's name correctly.
What now?
Sale Rice, what's the actress's name?
Oh, Ray.
Okay. No, that's her real name?
No. Her real name, son of a biscuit. I can't
her
remember.
Her real name is like a fucking Star Wars name. They should have just kept that.
Yeah, why not? Mark Hamill. Lando Calrissian. There are some crazy-ass names in this.
It's Star Wars.
Yeah, they've got some crazy, you know. Captain Phasma, I love that. I just think that's great. that's right down my alley.
Is she rebel-ish or
no? First she's with the First Order, and basically
I don't know anything about.
Yeah, and I don't want to
factions.
Well, there's a whole bunch online. But
all right, I'll look into it so that we don't spoil. So we don't spoil Cyrus.
Yeah.
Look, it's still possible that the movie.
Okay, so you were saying off the air, you're telling us that there are the toy is the BB-8 droid thing.
And oh, absolutely.
Only two versions of this?
I think there's three. The big
bullshit.
The one right now that's the new hotness that everybody's saying is the thing to go after is a rechargeable 3-inch diameter BB-8 toy that you made by Sphero. Those are the people that actually invented this thing. They actually pitched the toy to Disney, and at the same time that the vice president or president of Disney was looking at the specs for that toy, he was also looking at the pre-design for what droids they were circling around. It just so happened that they were very similar in thought, and he essentially about had them both on the same thing, called them up and said, hey, guys, do you think you could actually make this in real life for us to use in the Star Wars movie? They had to think it over for a day because, you know, your whole life's about to change. And then they came back and said, hell yes, we can do it. And you can actually go to Best Buy in town and see, even if they don't have the BB-8, you can see the Sphero little, they've been selling those for a while now, the little Sphero droids. They don't have a head on them. It's just a ball that you can control. But with BB-8, it's, you know, kind of a new wrinkle, and it's got a whole personality to it. And it's about $150. Rechargeable, runs around, zips around. From what I understand, though, and I could be wrong on this, but like all the sounds from the droid don't come from the droid, it comes from your phone. And so you're just kind of guiding around this little robot and the personality and all that kind of stuff. The other one is I think it's Kenner that makes it. I could be wrong because they're Hasbro that makes it. I always say Kenner because that was the 70s ones. But Hasbro makes this one that's about, it's much bigger. It's the one that I got, and it's more rugged, and it's more for kids, and it's got a controller, but the noises come from the toy itself, and it's hysterical, and all the kids absolutely love the freaking thing, and the daddies do too. I think it might be the more popular one. And then I think there's another one that's even larger. It's like 11 inches, almost 12 inches tall. And that third one is hard to come by. I think you can get it like on the Disney store online, and only there, I think.
What are the MSRP on these different models?
Let's see, $150 for the Sphero, $80 for the one. It's a Target exclusive, and that's the one I bought. And then the other one, I believe, is like $50. It's larger. But the bad part there is that it's got a little wheel on the bottom. It doesn't like actually do the spinning ball thing that the other that's really
oh.
The novel part. Right, exactly. It's like if you're going to spend $50 for a cheap over, it's the one that all the poor kids would be like, "Oh man, mom and dad bought the wrong one." That would be my reaction if I got that one.
That's the toy that like man, Finn is an asshole.
Exactly. Santa did not pay attention to the details. Got me a ball droid that has a wheel on the bottom of it, doesn't actually roll. Exactly. They have to make one like that. And then the $80 one's the good one. I think that's the sweet spot where, you know, which is crazy that to say $80 for your kid's toy, but that's still half of the $150. If you're going to do it, you know, I think the $80 one's actually going to be the one. I think Target's got the best one on their hands.
Are these already sold out nationwide?
Yep. Yep. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Okay.
There were only four at the store I was in, and I was I got the next to last one. The other one somebody snatched up too.
Yeah, I was going to ask that. I'm glad you kind of circled back around to it. So you went with your middle child, and
mm-hmm.
when they opened, was there a line?
Only about six people.
Okay.
It was because the apparently the chaos was at Toys R Us and Walmart, and if you went there, I you know, after I took my kid back to school. or to school. I then went, circled back around and went to Toys R Us and Walmart just to see what was out there.
The aftermath.
And honestly, it was like a jackal that came 2 hours too late. I mean, it was, there was nothing on the husk. Walmart was completely wiped out. Toys R Us, hardly anything.
And Willie Hattersburg appeared in your car and told you there's nothing left.
So online's the place to really go, and it'll all start filling back up. Right now, everything's sold out everywhere.
Keyshawn, that's a really interesting point. Since the last trilogy, Amazon is now a retail force.
I know exactly.
I had not processed that.
Oh yeah, you. That's the problem is which did impact the lines, but mm-hmm. the problem is everybody has access to Amazon, and so
it got
cleared out pretty quick.
Any idea how long? 5-6 minutes?
Oh no, I don't have any idea. No, it was longer than that because when I got home, I mean, it was well after. I want to say Amazon had stuff even before midnight. You just were buying it from UK version or something like that. But
didn't they have pre-orders or something for? Some
They had pre-orders too. But that Sphero one, that sucker sold out real fast. I mean that thing was like that had Star Wars geeks going to Bed Bath and Beyond for God's sake because they were carrying it there for some reason. And so there were people, oh yeah, go to Bed Bath and Beyond.
In this case.
It's a pretty neat little toy.
Oh, man.
I think your assessment of it being the new Tickle Me Elmo is probably spot on.
Oh, I absolutely. With that movie coming out on December 20th,
mm-hmm.
if 18th, that's right. Mm-hmm. Something's come. What's happening on the 20th?
I'm flying in. Can I stay with you?
Have you got tickets yet?
I'm just kidding.
Oh, okay.
I like how you were like, yes, absolutely, let's do this.
Yeah, I'm in. Once I got caught up in the heat of it, I was like, I got home, I called Alamo Drafthouse. I was immediately just like, hey, what are your plans for Star Wars? What are you doing? When are you selling those tickets?
Yeah.
So, and they were like, you're the 15th person who's called in the last 10 minutes about this.
I would easily think that. And, so now I've got it as my homepage. So every time I turn on my computer, first thing I'm doing is checking. Absolutely.
Okay.
I don't know that I'm going to go at midnight. I don't think I've got that in me anymore. But I'll go the first day if I can manage to get the tickets.
May I pause it a second time? Do.
What's that?
I think you do have that in you. You're old enough now that you're thinking you won't. But I'm getting a feeling as we get closer to that day, it's going to start sounding real good to you.
No, because there's not going to be anybody to go see it with.
Well, those people are wrong, Keyshawn.
No, I'm just saying.
I'm
going to
throw your words back at you.
I agree. I'm just saying that all the friends that I would go to see that movie at midnight with are no longer here.
Well, this is the genius of it being a holiday film. The kids are going to be out of school.
Oh, my kids aren't in school anyway. So
well, there you go.
That doesn't really matter. It's more just the, I don't think it's going to happen.
You have a perfect excuse now to break out your sleeping bag almost like a tauntaun.
Oh no, there's no way that I could. The only way I could see it on opening day without camping out because I can't camp out. My back's too bad. I can't sleep on the concrete. So. That's out. So the only way I'm doing it's Alamo Draft House with a pre-order. But you got to remember, I also have to navigate a wife that's also a big Star Wars fan. So it's not like I can say, honey, why don't you take one for the teams, watch the kids overnight while daddy goes see Star Wars.
Bring them all, I think, is the obvious choice here.
Yeah, maybe if your kids are teenagers.
No way, dude. When's the first time you went to a midnight showing? It wasn't at 5? No, it wasn't for me.
They didn't do it midnight back then.
Yeah, that's true.
I would have.
When did that start? I thought that was an older phenomenon.
Dude, I never heard of anyone doing a midnight showing before The Phantom Menace. If they did it, I'd never heard of it.
I think you're that's right. A good question. I think you may have it, and I can't.
I camped out for a cool 4 days for that movie.
Yeah, I don't think there was a blockbuster hotly anticipated enough to... Surely Jurassic Park got people that friendlied, right?
No, I don't think so. I remember that
being like really big one. Everyone was super stoked to go see.
Man, it physically pains me that we cannot do a spoiler-filled episode of this podcast. That's why I'm not talking more. I'm talking a lot, and I'm still. It's hard because I know so much, and it's so good. For the love of God, it's going to be so good.
That's good to hear.
Well, the only problem with that is I also thought the same thing about The Phantom Menace, and it got entirely hosed because of the dialogue.
That's the whole reason you think, huh?
I do. I think that the idea of The Phantom Menace was good. You know, I know because I thought that...
I don't know. The execution in general is pretty juvenile.
Well, I like the whole... I mean, essentially, it was just how Palpatine manipulated everybody to get into position. And when you look at it with that point of view, you're like, okay, well, that was pretty good. But how they actually executed it was very poor.
How long has it been since you've actually seen it, out of curiosity?
Me? A month?
Yeah. Wow.
My little ones. Right. We've watched all through the. I'm building these kids up. We watched them all before, but now we're like doing the slow run up to the new movie.
Okay, so, I have a Star Wars parent question for you then.
I just can't imagine how.
What's the order you watch them?
Say what?
What's the order you watch them in?
Well, I mean, now that my kids have seen them all, it's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Well, it's 1, 2, 3, then the Clone Wars, and then 4, 5, 6.
Oh, okay.
But how we introduced it to the kids was 4, 5, 6, then 1, 2, 3.
Okay.
Then the Clone Wars.
Gotcha.
Interesting. I just can't imagine anything except like the shine of like distant hindsight making that movie seem good. Like I haven't seen it in years and years, and I still remember it being just putrid.
Oh, wait a minute. I'm not saying I think it's a good movie. I'm just saying that before the movie came out, when all I knew was that, like, if you took a treatment of the movie, I knew the treatment. So, like, a one-page description of the movie. You know, what they chop around when they're trying to sell the movie.
A springboard. I knew that. I believe it's the English term, what you're talking about.
Yeah, I thought it was called a treatment, but I could be wrong.
No, treatments are longer than that.
Okay, well, maybe a treatment, because it was a little bit more. Because I knew enough that I was like, this sounds like a good movie. Saw it, and it was like, well, that was really exciting that I saw it, and I can't believe I saw it. But even the first night I saw it, I was like, dadgummit.
But I mean, the first movie really doesn't do much.
No, like, nothing, it doesn't.
There's
not
much
at all.
There's
not at all
in that movie. Second act, for example.
Yeah, I mean, that movie starts and ends in, like, not very far. Or the ending is not very far from the beginning in terms of the plot. And, God damn, it takes a while to get there.
Yeah.
Like, that movie could be told in 10 minutes of decent film.
Exactly, and that's about how much long it takes to read a treatment. So with the treatment, I thought, boy, that's going to be a good movie. And then when you see it, it's like, oh, they did it horribly.
So maybe we're just misunderstanding one another, but it doesn't seem to me possible to say both that movie should have been 10 minutes long and that movie, the dialogue was the main problem. It sounds like everything was the problem. It sounds like the script was dog shit. The editing was, well,
I could have lived with all of it till it got to the dialogue was the killing blow for me. How about that? It was bad, but I could live with it.
No, I'm not in on that take on it. I will grant you the premise is strong. I think, you know, I could see why that would be cool in the treatment. But no, it's not just the dialogue. The pacing is complete shit.
Yeah, but I think what Key was saying is that the dialogue was the straw that broke the camel's back. That doesn't mean that the other straws didn't contribute.
And I think that's still the thing that bugs me the most trying to rewatch it.
The dialogue.
Right,
the dialogue,
yeah, I think that's what I'm saying. I think.
Oh, no, I watch it and I get bored. I'm watching it and I'm just watching something go by slowly. It's like, Jesus, can we get past this? Can we get past? And what I realized eventually is I want to get past the whole thing.
Yeah.
And so
I
don't actually want to watch
that.
Yeah, I just don't. Nice. So I just
don't
want to watch
it. You're sitting there for 2 hours so you can watch Darth Maul fight Liam Neeson and Ewan McGregor.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but see, I know how to navigate to the DVD menu and precisely. Go to right. that
yeah.
scene.
And that's what you would do. Yeah, I mean, it's just, it seems like he was really banking on these expansive set pieces to hold this thing together, and they're just not that interesting.
I'm going to ask a question I think I know the answer to, but have you guys ever read the book called Darth Plagueis?
You have told us about it before, possibly on this very podcast.
That book makes me so angry because it does. It's what episode one should have been. And it hurts because it exists and it's out there.
Ned, does it hurt even more now that it's no longer canon?
For the purposes of radio, go ahead and give me a quick rundown on what that is, Kate.
Okay, so now it's no longer canon. You can wax poetic all about it. So essentially, it's the rise of Palpatine. And it literally starts with, it really starts with Palpatine killing his master. And then it flashes back to his, basically how his master killed his master. And then finds Palpatine and that courtship and how that went. And how this young guy essentially is manipulating everybody and even manipulating his master. His master knows he's manipulating him, and his master's going to manipulate him. It's just a whole shit ton of manipulation. But what it does...
This is the rule of two you're talking about, right?
Exactly.
I have a question for him before you go on. Just my clarifying for me. Is that a Lucas-derived idea?
Yes.
Do we know?
Yes.
The rule of two, the idea of... I've heard it stated as one to wield the power and one to crave it.
No, essentially. It's always two there are, master and apprentice, right?
Right, and that was Yoda's explanation for it in The Phantom Menace.
Yeah. Anything further than that really was outside of the canon.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, for sure. But I was just wondering if that was an idea that Lucas had, and so the rest of these guys ran with it in the novels.
Yeah, but also the Clone Wars cartoons canon, too.
Lucas, I've heard that as well.
And there you get a lot more of the subtle bringing out of, there's that rule of two, but both sides are always angling to – either, test or kill the other one at any given time. It's not like you just march along without an apprentice when you're the younger one. You know, you're always setting yourself up too. You know, it's it's constantly whatever apprentice, they're all setting up their own apprentices and apprentices of apprentices, things like that. They're all manipulating each other. But that Plagueis book, it doesn't just go up to episode one. It goes through episode one and up to episode two. And I believe that's as far as it goes, is through two. But it just all of it fleshes out all the things that you really would wanted to see about the manipulation, the more crafty side of all of it, rather than just a kind of a brief nod to it with a wink and a smile from Palpatine in the film. You get more of the orchestration and the subtlety. Of course, that's a novel. It always offers more than a movie can. But damn, the you could have done it. I mean, if you can do The Godfather, you can do a movie like that.
What a strange comparison.
That's what I think of. I think of how Michael ended up at the top.
Darth Fredo, I knew it was you.
Yes.
You broke my hat.
Now you will die.
Nice. Yeah, so, the first one's disappointing. The second one... If we took 1, 2, and 3 and cut out the shit, we could make one good movie out of them.
Well, yeah, but that's what...
That's probably very true.
But what's his name did that? Oh, what's his name? The guy from That 70s Show.
Oh, you're talking about Topher Grace.
Topher Grace, yeah. I think he did some kind of the Topher Grace cut, and he did exactly that. That's a real thing.
No, I know, but I'm sure it's not called the Topher Grace cut.
Isn't it? I thought it was.
Passed around in nightclubs, seedy joints.
Yeah.
Always on VHS tapes.
That's my...
scratchy.
That's this millennium's Star Wars Christmas special. Back in the 90s, you had to, like, go to conventions and find, like, a back alley purchase to get your hands on that Christmas special. There was no other way.
Lucasfilm was justifiably trying to destroy that thing and from everyone's memory.
I typed in Topher Grace, and it filled in Star Wars.
It's the internet.
Oh, it's called... I'm sorry, you're right. It's called
it's
the Phantom
Google
Edit.
It knows you.
That's correct. Okay, yeah. I remember that now. How long is it, Keyshawn?
2 hours.
And that's all three movies?
Yes, 2 hours and 3 minutes. Wait a minute. No, I'm sorry. That's not right. 85 minutes. 85 minutes.
So that's an hour 25. Yeah, I was just going to say it could probably have gone down even more, but an hour, I would have guessed about an hour and a half is all the film you need to get through 1, 2, and 3 and skip all the bullshit.
It's titled Star Wars : Episode Roman numeral 3.5: The Editor Strikes Back.
Nice.
Is this available? You can purchase it? Is it on YouTube? Help me
out.
No,
the movie still isn't online, but Topher Grace has published a trailer of his prequel edit online. You can watch that.
Okay. I'm going to do that tonight.
So
there's actually a description.
This will never be available for purchase, right? Because there's
no
way
they'll go on.
If you're another fanatic, you might know about this. There's a Star Wars documentary that I can't find anywhere, and I've seen a bit of it. I saw a bit of it on PBS once. It came out shortly after the Phantom Menace. And it was Lucas discussing the mythology of Star Wars from a Campbellian perspective. And it's super interesting. And I can't find it anywhere.
Oh, that's because...
Not even illegally.
That's because it was a... I believe I know what you're talking about. I thought maybe I showed you that. It was like a video game. But it was a PC disc called The Magic of Myth Making, I believe is what it was called. And in
this is something different.
It was like a lame database, but it had video on it. And
an actual 1 hour documentary where someone interviews Lucas and just talks about, you know, the power myths behind Star Wars. And it's super interesting.
Wait a minute. That's Star Wars, The Power of Myth, isn't it? Joseph Campbell, The Power of Myth, Star Wars.
That's a novel, right?
No, I thought there was I sure thought there was a big...
Let me advise you on this. When you're putting that search in, as we're doing this live on broadcast, put in PBS for sure. And see if that changes anything.
I'm going to the Googles. PBS? You saw this on PBS?
Yeah, I did.
Google auto completes mythology of Star Wars when
the power of myth. Yeah, here's a big thing on it. Yeah. Wait a minute. Is Star Wars religious?
Yeah. Ooh, I think I just found it on Vimeo. The Mythology of Star Wars with George Lucas and Bill Moyers.
That's what I was looking at. I'm looking at the same
thing.
This
looks familiar.
Yep. It doesn't get very good reviews according to this, but it's actually on YouTube.
No,
the Mythology
I love
of
it.
Star Wars with George Lucas and Bill Moyers. Or Vimeo, I'm sorry. It's on Vimeo, vimeo.com/380260023.
Oh, yeah.
I know that you picked that up.
Yep, I just found it. Okay, sweet. Never mind. All right. Hey, I learned something tonight.
So it is, 56 minutes long. And...
Yeah. So the whole thing I was circling around was that with episode one, and when I had that treatment or whatever we want to call it, I thought that going into the movie before I'd seen it was going to be good. And then, of course, all those things that were wrong, whatever they were, none of us ended up liking it for a myriad of reasons. So now, here we are, how many years later? 17? Jesus, is it really 17 years since episode one? No.
Yeah, buddy.
God almighty. So here we are 17 years later and hopefully a little bit wiser. So at least I have about the same level of knowledge here that I did on episode one. And I'm cautiously optimistic, which, as Penny Arcade accurately described, as a shit-filled donut.
I don't understand the context, but it made me laugh.
Well, so far everything's looking good, but you might take a bite and find out it's full of shit. That was episode one for me.
I'm operating on the assumption that it's going to be bad, and that way, if it's good, I'm going to be surprised and overjoyed. And if it's bad, I'll be like, oh, okay, well.
I will tell you this. Whatever you've built up in your head is probably going to be the arc of the three movies of the trilogy. And
I have
not...
no idea what the plot will be. Okay. I have zero idea.
I'm trying to preserve that, too. I think that might be an interesting way to watch the films.
Well, I tell you this. If you're watching that mythology of Star Wars thing, J.J. Abrams is absolutely plumbing that.
He's a good man.
Interesting.
I mean, he knows what he's, you know, I think the same way that he approached Star Trek is and looking for the fundamental underpinnings of it.
He was dragged into that thing, kicking and screaming. Man. What is this shit? Why do my writers on Lost think this is cool? I don't care. Not a lightsaber anywhere in here.
That's right.
Horowitz, get in here. What the fuck am I looking at? It's a tribble, sir. What do I pay you for?
I just watched the second one the other day, and I actually enjoyed it more on the second viewing. Except for the part where Spock yells Khan. That's bad. But other than that, man, I really enjoyed that second movie.
I am such a super fan of that second film, Wrath of Khan, that I was just tickled by all... I mean, the fact that they wrote that entire third act as a parody of it.
Yeah.
I'm not sure that's a good movie, but I enjoyed it.
I did.
Yeah, I could see the love in what they did. Mm-hmm. Like, they obviously knew the, you know, loved the movie, and I could see that in it. It made me kind of feel like, well, why am I watching this when I could be watching Wrath of Khan instead? And I realize that's a cheap response. Of course, you could always have that response to any movie. But I don't know if for me, they sold it quite well enough, but I did appreciate the effort, and, you know,
It reminded me more of Space Seed from the original series.
Space Seed is the original series episode where they discover Khan.
That's where the wrath originates. Okay. That's why they become wrathful.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So they rolled Space Seed and Wrath of Khan into that movie, right?
The set pieces were. Yeah,
kind of the alternate reality take on
right.
it.
Right, they took
the
that.
The set
that
pieces
final
were well executed, and I mean Khan himself was in. I hate to say it, but this Khan was in many respects better than Ricardo Montalban. But obviously, except for his pecs and his abs, Ricardo had those in spades. In plastic.
I enjoy both spades. On their own merits. I would say, but that's certainly fair.
Not enough pecs.
Yeah. Also, there was no, he put creatures in our bodies. That, you know, that kind of.
God, you did that very well. Bravo.
I'm with Riyadh. I've seen that film so many goddamn times. I could probably recite it from start to finish.
Oh.
Yeah, that for me, when I was a kid, was like, nightmare inducing.
Oh,
like, watching that.
When I was little, I had to get up and like not watch that scene.
Yeah. Oh yeah, that was horrifying. I remember. I remember seeing it in the theater, and that was really bad.
That film was so sacred to me that when it came out on DVD, I went out of my way to make sure I got the original theatrical cut.
Nice.
You know what I mean? Because there was a period there when DVDs were like, oh, we're gonna recut it, and you know, add this in, take this out, and that, and I was like, no, this film is perfect. Do not touch it. I swear to God, I'll kill you. I felt that way about Wrath of Khan and T2, but I can't find the original T2.
Yeah.
I can find 7 different versions of it for some fucking reason, but not the original theatrical cut.
Yeah, that's true. That one is, like, impossible to find in intact.
Yeah, and again, they didn't need to fuck with that. They nailed it.
Yeah, they absolutely didn't. That was so good. Mm-hmm. My God.
All right, so Keyshawn, so we had action figures, we had the toy. What else we got?
Legos.
Okay.
Legos are great. The depressing part of the Legos was seeing the old Han. So all the 3¾-inch toys, big toys, you'll notice they're really emphasizing all the young characters. There aren't any of the old ones there. And now, not to say that somebody wants some highly detailed geriatric Luke Skywalker, I understand.
Oh, I do.
But I know I do too. But I don't think the kids are hopping for it.
Damn you! When I was flying X-wings, we didn't have targeting computers. No, Luke, you turned off your targeting computer. Shut up!
Oh, man, that was like a Robot Chicken sequence. That was brilliant.
That was good. Bravo, man. That was good. That's you brought original content. Great. But
I ate the bullseye. I want Brett's back on my home.
So, yeah, the old Han was depressing. Quite sad.
Yeah.
He's old and gray, and they have a little old gray Han Solo. And they have little wrinkles drawn on its little plastic head. And, yeah, that was depressing.
That was a summarizing thought.
You know what's double depressing about that? It's going to be that's going to sell well, but not because the kids want it, because who wants that?
Oh, daddy.
It's because the parents want it. Mm-hmm. And everyone who buys it, despite wanting it, will be sad to own it because it makes them feel old.
Oh, yeah.
So that toy is just there to elicit sorrow and money.
I look at it, and it's the Millennium Falcon. And I don't know if you noticed in the trailer, but the Millennium Falcon has a new dish on it. Because if you remember, the old dish got knocked off by Lando.
Fucking Lando.
And so it has a new dish on it, and it's a different shape. It's not round. It's like rectangular. And
yeah, it's a DirecTV dish. They got Sunday Ticket.
That's right.
now the Rebels don't have to pirate their NFL anymore.
So there were the Lego toys. The books also started doling out. So I've bought 5 books.
Five novels out already? Holy shit.
Well, let's see. One of them is a junior novel. 3 of them are like paperbacks.
Everybody force chokes. One
hardback.
Okay.
Everybody force chokes. That's the Star Wars universe version of like slitting your wrist or cutting yourself. That's so stupid.
Any vehicles?
Oh, so bad. Any what?
Vehicles?
Oh, yeah. Oh, God. Yeah, I bought the vehicles. I bought a couple. I bought one for each kid. The baby doesn't need one, so I bought 2. They have a black X-Wing, which, oh, bo hell yeah.
It works in Blazing Saddles.
Yeah. So the black X-Wing, it's badass in theory. The toy itself is a piece of shit. Just quite literally, they molded shit. The character barely fits inside the thing. So the toy that comes with it does not fit inside of it. So like closing the cockpit. And my son's just like, this is stupid, Daddy. I'm like, I know it is stupid, isn't it?
Oh, yeah, Tinder, father, son, went there.
Yeah, exactly.
Everything exactly. Is awful, Daddy. Yeah, it is.
But then there's also the speeder, and it's Rey's speeder. So that's the girl. You see it in the trailer when she's zipping along in this thing. It looks like a double fudgesicle turned on its side and you're riding on it. Pretty cool toy. Was not that expensive. So to me, I was really happy with that. Could be better, but honestly, I think these things that are coming out right now aren't for the collectors, they're for the kids. And so my kids are playing the devil out of it.
That's what it should be for.
Right.
How are the action figures quality-wise? They hold up?
Quality-wise?
Yeah.
Oh, man, it's so much better than when we were kids. It's ridiculous. Oh, they're great.
Really? They're better? Wow. How?
The paint job, the details, they're far better. The details are far better all the way around.
And are these
the likenesses are pretty good too.
What size are these? These aren't G.I. Joe size, are they?
Yeah,
they're
3¾.
Oh, okay. Really?
Yeah, well, they have the black series, which are these 6-inch. But those are for the and honestly, those are the things that all the people my age are going after, because those are like very well done. I mean, those things are the ones. They go for $20 a figure, and honestly, when you're paying $11 for the 3¾-inch, $20.
Really?
Yeah, uh-huh. That's a lot.
Yeah. But I'll take the 3¾-inch still, because then they still can make vehicles for those suckers.
Right.
And the kids love that.
Are the 6-inch ones fully articulated like the 3¾, or do they like have fixed legs?
They're
more
articulated than the 3¾. The 3¾ just, you remember, it's just like when we were kids. It's just bend the legs at the hips, bend the arms at the shoulders, and move their head around.
And the waist, you could twist them at the waist, right?
I don't believe so. No.
Couldn't you do that with the 3¾, or was that only a 6-inch?
G.I. Joe, yes. Yeah. Star Wars, no.
Okay. Yeah, I'm always thinking about G.I. Joe. I remember twisting them at the waist. But,
he's a real hero.
Yeah, nice.
And the Kylo Ren thing is awesome. The lightsaber, it looks really cool.
That's what I was building up to.
Dude,
do you have the Excalibur lightsaber?
So all of this, believe it or not, other than the BB-8, that little droid thing was all for my kids. The BB-8, Daddy drives around, and the kids just love running around and watching it. The rest of them, all my kids just took it and they're playing the devil out of it, which is perfect. So, but that's totally bizarre for me, because it used to be I would just
I totally understand. That's total parenting response, though, right?
Right.
Watching the kids have a blast with it.
Uh-huh. And more fun doing that. But that being said, the collector part of me had a damn hard time when we got into that Target, because my understanding here in Austin, the Toys R Us midnight opening, they didn't have any of the there's these power, or what are they called, Force Effects lightsabers. Those are like the high quality ones.
Okay.
And they're hundreds of dollars. And the Toys R Us premiere didn't have any of it. And Walmart didn't either. And Target had 4 of these suckers. And they're $200 a piece. But they're going for a whole lot more on eBay.
Interesting.
And
wait, so
the
how,
collector in me
are
really
there a bunch of
them.
Different ones or just...
No, this was Kylo Ren's.
Got it.
So this is
that is the
bad guy in the black with the broadsword.
That's
the broadsword lightsaber.
Got it.
Yeah. And man, that sumbitch looks awesome. Just looks damn cool. And I understand the argument about why, but nevertheless, the son of a bitch looks. I mean, I could hang that up on a wall; it would look cool as hell, especially with my red walls, right? But
red room.
But there's more stuff that are being tipped by which toys they're selling that tips to the plot that later, when you see the movie, you're going to be like, oh, that's why they sold that toy. Yeah. But I won't say anymore.
I appreciate it.
The books are fun. The big novel is this one called Aftermath, and it literally starts up right after the destruction of the Death Star. So this is your first, it's not a direct plot tie-in, but it has a lot, it's laying the groundwork for what the universe is going to be come 30 years later. And it's pretty fun. It's about Wedge, but it's got hints of the other characters and what they're doing and all that kind of thing.
Yeah.
I'm trying not to say too much.
No, that's cool. And I appreciate you. I really appreciate you, like, both sharing it and the manner in which you're sharing it. One question I had, and I don't think this is probably too spoilery, is just how involved are the original characters from the original trilogy in this new film? Are we going to see a lot of them, like 50%, 75%? I mean, do they just walk down the hall?
Man, that's a hard one to answer because that's the one I'm getting asked most.
Mm-hmm.
And the problem is you can answer per character, and it's too spoilery. I will say that they are involved, that they are critical. All right, you remember Mon Mothma?
I do.
Okay. More than that, you know, so imagine they're now the Mon Mothmas, right? I mean, they're the big movers and shakers.
Right.
Right?
Right.
So for the movie, it's kind of like, man, how do I
describe
this?
They have as much agency or less agency than Padme does in Revenge of the Sith?
No. It's about the same.
Okay.
Actually, it varies depending on character.
Okay, that's fair.
But to be fair, that's the Joseph Campbell way of telling things isn't like they're just off and running. The Joseph Campbell way of all these hero stories, just think of how, I mean, think of the first Star Wars.
No, you start in a big ship.
How much time Obi-Wan was a major character. How much time do you think he was actually on the screen in Star Wars? I believe the number is 11 minutes.
That's crazy.
I love that you knew that off the top of your head.
I may be wrong. I've heard that it was 10 to 11
minutes. But you know what I'm saying. The amount of time you're in the film, screen-wise, doesn't necessarily speak to your impact, though.
Exactly. And that's why I'm being cautious about how I answer your question.
Okay.
Because impact-wise, all of them are going to be there. And impact-wise, yes. But minute-wise, you're talking more like Padme in Episode 3 wasn't really impact-wise, except for the part where she got choked and the part where she said, I'm pregnant, right?
Yeah.
That's it. I'm pregnant and I'm dead. Those are the two important parts that Padme had of any kind of impact.
I would actually challenge you on that. She has, and this is actually, I would argue, the best scene in that new trilogy.
Oh, this is how democracy dies?
No, although that's a great line. She delivers it well.
Yeah.
I was speaking to, it's the crux point of the film where Anakin falls from grace.
Uh-huh.
Where, you know, he's told, you know, he's told Windu and the rest of the Jedi Council that Palpatine is a Sith Lord. And they forbid him from going because, you know, they
can sense
that he's fucked up. And there's that sequence where he's sitting by himself in the council room and Padme, or Natalie Portman, is in their apartment or whatever the hell that dwelling would be called. And you have this entire sequence where it's just him wrestling with, you know, what his duty and, you know, his love for his wife. And then Lucas fucking pusses out. I'm sorry to say it, but in that manner, but he pusses out and has that monologue over with it where Ian Dierman gives voice to this conflict that's going on that's completely unnecessary. The two of them emote perfectly. You know what's going on.
Uh-huh.
That's almost a great scene.
Yes.
Sorry, I don't know why I felt that needed to take up, like, 2 minutes of time.
No, you're totally right. That was a great scene. That was probably one of the best scenes in the whole trilogy. You're right.
And I'm still, to this day, a little irked that he ruined it with that narration that wasn't necessary. It was a classic case of Lucas needing to let his actors act.
Honestly, I don't remember the narration.
It's because you don't need it.
That's good. Because, you're describing it, but I haven't a clue.
Yeah.
Son of a bitch. Now I'm trying to figure out how much screen time Obi-Wan had.
Many Boffins died to bring us this narration.
I have no idea. Okay. Well, so to answer your question, impact all three of them without a doubt. Without a doubt. Chewbacca, I don't know about R2 and 3PO, but as far as the big three, all three of them, major impact. But I can't – but time-wise, not as much.
Gotcha. Well, I mean, the reason I used Natalie Portman in Revenge of the Sith as a benchmark is because I felt like that was one of the problems with that film. She didn't have as much agency as she should have.
Yeah, I agree. I agree. That's a good point. But, like, Alec Guinness's role in the original Star Wars. Again, limited time, huge, though.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
And and it's kind of the same type of thing here. Although I will say there's I don't know, I can't talk anymore. There's a lot of argument online about how much time, this question of the time.
Are people wanting more or less?
More.
That's the debate. Okay, I see.
More. And honestly, knowing the plot, I think that the answer to those people's complaints is, well, that's what the trilogy's going to be. It ain't going to be like they're all running and gunning just full tilt.
Yeah, nor should it be. Those people asking for more of that are completely wrong.
I think it's going to be a...
And I if they want to argue with me further, I'm going to point them towards Star Trek VI, The Undiscovered Country, which is the last time they had a bunch of 60-year-olds running around a space epic. And it doesn't fucking work.
Yep. True that.
How dare you, sir?
They're so old in that movie.
Yeah, holy shit.
Like, Kurt supposedly wins a fist fight, and it's like, no, he doesn't. He's an old man.
Hey, you didn't say that... You didn't say that when Sly Stallone got into a fist fight in The Expendables, did you?
That's true. Of course not. He's using HGH.
Yeah, that's true.
Shatner, not so much.
Yeah, Bones needed to give Kirk a little HGH to get things going.
Maybe he was allergic to that also. Reptox 5.
I'm completely unable to find out how much screen time Alec Guinness had. I've read that somewhere, but
that's damn it. All right.
You're right. It's not a huge amount, right? They talk about him a lot at various points, and he's clearly doing an important, like he's off doing an important thing for part of it, where we know he's going to turn off the shield or the tractor beam generator, and you know all these things, right? But yeah, I mean. He
you know what,
have
though?
That
you
many
could probably
lines,
say this, you could say the same thing of Grand Moff Tarkin in that film.
Yeah. Another guy who didn't have a lot.
But, oh, man, he brought it.
Yeah, no lie. Yeah. Vader, too.
Well, in the first one, he's still, like, sort of this scary presence that's not yet really clear to us, right?
Yeah.
Like, we see him at the very beginning, and we don't know much about him. Yeah, we don't know much about him, and we see him at the beginning, and then we see him, like, sporadically throughout. But then, really, in 2, we start to see him more.
The Empire Strikes Back is where he became the Shiz Knight, it's true.
Yeah.
Or, I should say 5, I guess, but whatever, you know what I meant.
Oh, yeah.
Empire.
We just talked about an hour about how those first films aren't worth even discussing.
Yeah, but all of that was in the context of me bringing it up that, well, as much as I was hopeful for the first one, now I'm trying to hold off that excitement, even though everything I'm hearing and all the stuff, you know, just seems to support that it's going to be a good movie.
Yeah.
But I like spoiling because... Some of these things, like those expectations, I get to kind of get my head around, okay, this is what they're doing, and it makes it where I think I'm going to enjoy it more. And I haven't really spoiled too much because the last third of the movie, I've heard a couple of different things where I don't think I know the biggest things, I don't know.
I see. So would you say you know the ending?
Yes.
Oh, see.
But I don't know the biggest things that tee up the ending. Does that make sense?
Sure.
There are as much as it can. Yeah, as much as it can. Those that are spoiled will know exactly what I'm talking about.
Let me ask you this. Do you know what Benicio Del Toro's role in Episode 8 is already?
Hell no.
Okay, okay.
No, I don't think anybody does at this
point. Okay.
But, yeah, Episode
8. So you don't even know enough to guess?
Frankly, no.
Okay.
No.
Well,
I mean, no, I know enough to know that I don't think there's going to be enough material to be able to guess.
Okay.
Because, I mean, oh, damn, I can't say that name because you haven't heard it yet.
You can be an actor if you want to.
I'll just say the big bad. Well, wait a minute. What everybody has assumed to be the big bad, and that's fair to say because Andy Serkis is involved, and you know that. You know Andy Serkis is in the movie, right?
I knew that. I was working from the assumption that Max von Sydow was the bad guy. Or the big bad, quote unquote.
I don't want to spoil you.
Okay, fair enough.
But no.
Cool. That's kind of cool.
No, I think what everybody's assumed is Andy Serkis is the big bad guy.
Oh, okay. Okay, cool. I just assumed he was like an important alien because he's Andy Serkis. He never played himself.
I think you're right. I think you're right, but everybody's assuming he's the big bad.
Okay. Okay, fair enough.
And I know the name, and I will not be spoiling in saying that it's one of those names just like Lando Calrissian, where now it rolls off the tongue. But when you first hear it, you're like, what the fuck? There are some names that are like, what the fuck is that name? And what the fuck is this name? And these are some crazy-ass names. Whoever did the naming brought the heat. They brought the thunder. Yeah. They really got themselves some Star Wars names going on. And even with the droids, there's great stuff going on. I will tell you, there's a droid named Bernard. And I love it because it actually goes along with some numbers and letters. That's not a spoiler because it's
the E is backwards.
You know what? I can't remember. I literally just discovered this like last night because in the last 24 hours, Star Wars has gone ape shit insane, like releasing official stuff. And on their main website, they have these databases for each movie where you can literally, I know that I'm speaking to folks that are like Riyadh that are database gurus, and these are some true databases. Everything.
There's the title high chaplain.
Yeah. And these are some true databases. Like every damn thing about those movies are in these databases.
And
episode
yet you
7.
Could not find Alec Guinness's screen time.
You know what?
So
I didn't even think to look. I was Googling.
Oh, Jesus. Oh, please. This is great radio now. No.
Actually, I was just Googling. I wasn't actually – hey, did you guys hear, speaking of all this, that Force Friday, which is what all this thing was called, Force Friday, that they had an 18-hour live YouTube thing streaming as literally the hour at hand across the planet as toy stores were opening? Did you hear about this?
No. I'm not surprised. But
I'm surprised. I'm just like, holy shit, that's amazing. I mean, it's one thing. I don't know. Maybe it's just my old age that YouTube's like this for everything. But I'm just blown away that like the toys just coming out for this inspired and I mean to have an 18 hour long telethon essentially for people.
What I'm discovering
buying toys.
As I interact with more young people is that YouTube really is just.
Everything.
It's like the new television. Like culturally, it's like television starting all over again.
Yeah, it's amazing.
And that's difficult at just in my mid-30s for me to wrap my head around.
Yeah, I mean, people who are really, obsessed with something want to consume bunches of content about it, right? And this is a really cheap way to make mm-hmm. that content, right? They're just throwing together, live streams of stores opening and interviewing people and stuff. And it's like somebody was like, oh, yeah, we could totally hack this together.
Okay.
And produce just a ton of airtime out of it, or, fill a ton of airtime with it, right?
Now, I don't think it's spoilers to say some of the names. Would y'all
no,
consider
that's fair.
That fair? So there's a character named Tito. T-E-E-D-O. Tell me you don't love that name.
That's a good name.
That's a great name. And let me see. I'm pulling up some other ones. I'm just...
Hey, Sean, this is a total non sequitur. Well, not a complete non sequitur, but it just popped in my head when you said Tito.
And I'm give me curious, a tissue.
You're a little bit colder. You're a bit older than I am. How into Buck Rogers were you back in the day?
Oh my God! Weren't you with me when we went to some convention here in town and Aaron Gray was there? I couldn't even approach Buck Rogers when he was standing there in khaki shorts.
Yeah,
I couldn't do it. It was just like, oh my God, it's Buck Rogers. And I just stood there like a goofy dork going, holy shit, Buck Rogers is just standing there.
Don't feel bad. I would do the same thing if I met, like, the Hulk or something. So.
And Erin Gray is one of those few women, if you met the Hulk. You mean Lou Ferrigno, or do you mean literally the Hulk?
No, I mean literally the Hulk. I'd be so green, I'd be frozen in place. The greenness.
Super green.
Nice.
So there's
no,
a giant.
But I mean, the reason I bring it up is when I was little, I think we've talked about this before in passing, but not on the show or anything. Buck Rogers for me when I was little was Star Wars 2.
It was
Star Wars 1B. You know what I mean? Uh-huh. Like, I really loved the hell out of it.
Oh, I completely agree. It really was. That, I mean, I freaking love that show. That Eagle dude. He was so great.
Oh, we've talked about this before. I loved his fucking plane. Yes, and his girlfriend was fucking gorgeous, even though she had a fucking eagle head. I don't know how she was still hot, but she had feathers for hair.
I remember. Yeah. Okay. Sorry, it took me a second.
Yeah, I know you talk. I know exactly who you're talking about. That guy was badass. I think his name was Hawk. I think he really went all in on that name. Literally, it may have been the guy's name.
All right, there's
Hawk General, was his name.
In episode 7, there's a General Hux. There's Goss Tours. There's Snoke.
I don't know why that got me.
I'm telling you. There's ME-89, and they call the robot Emmy. Let's see. There's a droid called Buford.
Buford Blue.
It's BU4D, Buford.
That's hilarious. Wow.
I fucking love it.
So the woman who played Hawk's wife, so Corey was Hawk's wife, she was also in, like, Dragnet, which is where I recognized her from. That's weird.
Oh my God. Like,
she was in TJ Hooker.
Yes.
One episode.
Well, wasn't everybody back then?
She was probably just in all those 80s shows, evidently, then.
Yep.
Okay, here's some more Star Wars Episode 7 names. Tasu Leech. Unkar. Elo Asti.
These are very Star Warsian, yeah.
There's a Guavian Death Gang.
Of course.
No, now that sounds like something I would have at, like, a Taco Bueno.
No. Sarco Plank.
Interesting.
And hang on, there's one here. I've got to get it right. Yeah, it's PZ Forcio, which is droid PZ-4CO0.
Got it.
PZ Forcio. And then there's a Lugabeast, and this sumbitch, I wish, America, go search for that, because the Lugabeast just looks fucking badass. And Tito rides the Lugabeast.
Okay. I got to ask. Which has the better names, Star Wars 7 or Fury Road?
Oh, dude, I knew that was coming. No one's topping Fury Road.
All right.
No one could do that. Now the sad part is that you would hope, at least in the Star Wars, that you would hear them say each other's names. Fury Road, there's probably only a half a dozen times where anybody calls anyone by name.
Yeah. It's true. Is there anything else you want to sound off on before I? Because I've got one more thing I wanted to bring up. It is another Disney thing, actually. But I don't. I want you to speak your piece.
I'm trying to think if there is a trade paperback coming out for Star Wars, but that's not going to be till November. And they announced 2 days ago that the soundtrack's coming out the same day as the movie. I think one of the things I am really excited about and happy about is that if you guys remember with episodes 1, 2, and 3, man, the soundtrack was coming out months before the movie, and it had all these huge, big spoilers for all of them. And then the same with the toys.
I remember Qui-Gon's Noble End.
Yeah.
Yeah, thanks. Yeah.
Exactly, right? Right? And now I knew that was coming, but I remember how it was just like, well, shit, you know, he just blew. They're not doing that at all with this stuff. They have hidden everything. Is, I mean, hell, no one knows Rey's last name, and no one knows Finn's first name, or if Finn is his first or his last name.
Oh. Interesting. It never occurred to me that I should be wondering that, you know?
Oh, well, Kylo Ren, same thing.
Yeah.
We have seen one picture of Kylo Ren without his helmet, and that's because he's a famous actor, so...
Right.
You know, they're bound to have him without his helmet on at some point in the movie.
Right.
I'm hoping they actually have Brianna Tarth with the helmet off. I just love that lady. She's a badass.
Yeah, Christy something or other? I'm blanking on her name.
I don't know. I freaking think she's great.
I don't know.
So anyway, bunch of badass aliens, great names, Star Wars type names. It takes a while to get calibrated to them, but even Snoke I'm settling in on.
Very nice.
Okay, now, where were you going?
Well, there was another big piece of Disney-related news that, and I'm really bummed that I forgot to do this when we had Ariel available, but what the hell. There has been a reorganization within the Marvel DC power structure as of late.
Uh-huh.
This is breaking news.
Yeah.
Perlmutter no longer has, I guess, authoritative power over Kevin Feige. Feige now answers directly to Disney. Furthermore, the Marvel Cinematic High Council, such that it is, of Quesada, Bendis, etc., has been dissolved.
No, I didn't hear that.
Yeah.
They disbanded the Senate?
Yep. The regional governors now have direct control over the territories. Bring in back Star Wars.
Mmm.
How do we feel about that, guys?
Terrified. Well,
honestly, that's true. Yeah. That could go well or it could go really badly. I mean, mm-hmm. We'll see, I guess. I don't know how to feel.
Right?
Maybe it'll be good. Let's be optimistic. Hey, it could be great. But, man, it feels a little risky to just, like... Oh, so are you serious when you say that basically all the properties are going to be more or less pushing their own directions for a while? Does that mean they're not going to do any massive crossover type things? Or
Perlmutter, it just looks like the MCU, and this is just my speculation based on what I'm hearing, is now going to be answering directly to Disney as opposed to their Marvel branch of Disney.
So probably that means that it's that the comics and the film universe are going to converge even more, right?
Well, I saw.
I think it's Newsarama. I think it's the other thing all around. To be honest, without those, without the, you know, that creative committee, you know, coming in almost as like, yeah, almost like, it's almost like they're taste testers. I would say, yeah, that feels right. That's Iron Man, or no, that's not Iron Man. Those guys aren't there anymore.
Well, I sure read something completely different over on Newsarama.
Okay, lay it on me.
That THR goes on to state that the Marvel Creative Committee will continue to work inside the company, but its influence over Marvel films will be nominal in favor of broader control by Feige.
Yeah. How is that different?
So wait, they're giving control of the films to one guy, but the that sounds like the comic books will still remain.
The television, animation, merchandising, and publishing still falls under
those guys. Yeah.
So they're taking control for the film stuff away from those guys, but nothing else.
But leaving it with Feige, which I'm okay with.
Are they?
Yeah, he seems to be doing a pretty good job. I just
I can't see why they're doing, like, it doesn't seem like they were doing such a bad job. What's the deal?
Well, apparently Feige was talking about quitting. And what it says here is that Isaac Perlmutter, which is the Marvel Entertainment CEO, and then that creative committee were both coming down on Feige to rein in cost. And Feige was like, hey, you spend the money and you will get it back. And he was talking openly about quitting the company, and then Disney CEO Bob Iger stepped in to keep from losing him and essentially reorganized everything earlier week.
So they wanted they gave him more power to keep him from quitting. That was basically a promotion. And
Well, there was theoretically a governing body he had to answer to that's been removed.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. So effectively, they did this in order to give him a promotion. It's not so basically now he's going to be he's gained a title in this effectively. So probably he also gets a big pay jump and all that too. So I don't know, that to me it seems like that might be more of a company politics move than any kind of creative change, so it's not clear how much going forward that will impact the way that they actually run things. It's entirely possible that this guy will decide, now that he's the big swinging dick, to make a bunch of changes. But he might realize, look, we're doing things reasonably well already. I have a little more power, but you know, I don't need to rock the boat too much. So I would say it probably depends on whether he wants to throw his weight around or not.
What I guess is a little bit concerning to me is the reason that Keyshawn just cited from that article on THR, you said?
No. So Newsarama is citing a THR.
That's fine.
The Hollywood Reporter.
Okay. Yeah, that he was upset that they wouldn't spend enough cash on the films.
Well, I mean, Disney has been in a cost-cutting mode the last few months. Remember, they've been pressuring ESPN to cut budget too, right? We talked about this a couple podcasts ago. They pushed out They pushed out Simmons. They basically did not compete with an offer from Fox Sports, I want to say, for Colin Cowherd. Like, they're trying to cut costs. So it's not surprising that they're kind of trying to do it across the company.
It's interesting to me, though, that they're doing that. Are their operating costs that damn high?
I don't know. Who knows? It may be that, you know, there's some, for some reason, the, you know.
I just heard via the Word Balloon podcast that internally Avengers Age of Ultron is viewed as a failure. And I wish I could remember what source cited that. And I apologize to you guys and the listeners that I can't recall, but it did. It made a shit ton of money, of course, but it didn't make. I guess they just really expected it to be Avengers all over again in terms of like everyone would run out and go see it five times, and they didn't do that.
Well, so worldwide it made $1.4 billion. Domestically, it was $460 million.
And that is quite a bit off from Avengers, which made $1 billion worldwide in a week.
Yeah, that's true.
So, yeah. I mean, that's certainly a lot of bank. But.
Well, it's number two all time for them. Age of Ultron, I mean.
Yeah.
In the Marvel Cinematic, in MCU, it goes Avengers, Age of Ultron, Iron Man 3, Guardians, Iron Man 2 are the top six.
Yeah, but it didn't even win the summer.
Say again?
Who won the summer?
Jurassic World.
Yeah.
Oh, shit.
That thing made a fuck ton of cash.
Huh. I didn't even like it that much.
Yeah. That's,
I didn't see it. I will at some point. I mean, it's dinosaurs, right? It's cool.
I mean, they broke a four-year streak of winning the year. Mm-hmm. Avengers, Iron Man 3, and Guardians
were
12, 13, 14.
They're going to, Star Wars 7 is what, 8 weeks away? They're going to get it back.
But, yeah.
Yeah, I suppose.
I bet I see that movie three times.
Shit, I saw Revenge of the Sith three times in one the opening day.
I know, I did too. That's why I'm doing a what is it called? Inflation. Actually, it's deflation for me as I'm getting older.
Yeah.
Well, it used to have been three times a day. It'd probably be three times total now.
I'm gonna go see it one time opening day if I can. And we'll see how it goes. But you know, I to your thing, Key, earlier, maybe this is as good as a summarizing point, a summarizing thought rather. I'm not leery of this movie because I feel like we've already seen the worst Star Wars film we're possibly ever going to see. I feel like The Phantom Menace is that bad.
Yeah, I think you're right.
I think that's I feel like that's the floor. We can only go up. This thing should at least be decent.
Oh yeah. Yeah, everything I've heard, and I'm not going into spoiler territory, but sounds like this thing's going to be at least an A-minus movie. And then the only reason I say A-minus is because if the dialogue is punchy and good, then it'll be A+. But everything else, as far as the plot and how fast it moves and what's moving it. Everything I've heard makes me very excited.
Sweet.
But man, I think I'm even more pumped about the next one, the Rogue. What's it called? Rogue One.
Rogue One. Yeah.
Oh man,
that does sound cool.
Everything I've seen. Have you seen the little teaser?
I've only heard the premise, and that's all I needed to be in on it.
Oh bloody hell, man! That one TIE fighter flying through the ravine, and then it comes panning up, and the camera kind of follows the TIE fighter up into the sky, and in the sky, and you see this giant arch, and it's like, oh, shit, that's the Death Star.
Can I tell you, that's how I felt about watching the trailer for Star Wars Battlefront at PAX.
Oh, yeah.
My God, that thing looks amazing.
I know.
I'm just like, I feel like I'm in the goddamn movie.
yeah.
That's going to be a great game.
There's the trailer for the movie, but there's also some I've seen a little bit of, I don't know if it was leaked or if it's just other official footage, but there's this one thing where there's some guy who's playing the game and he's running down a hallway and there's another character running in front of him.
Mm-hmm.
And the character, like, there's a big, he's running down a thin hallway and then there's an open hallway that is perpendicular. And the character in front of him runs out in front of him. And before he gets to the doorway, the guy in front of him lifts up in the air and starts choking.
Oh,
and
yeah.
I was like, oh, that is awesome. Mm-hmm. There is a Vader around that corner, and you don't want to go there. I stop and turn around and run fast enough. And I thought they've got magic on their hands here.
is that where it stopped for what you saw?
Yes.
Okay, at PAX it kept going.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, oh my God. So excited for that game. You're going to lose like half your life to it.
That's like all platforms, is that right?
I assume so. It looks pretty great.
Yeah, I'm excited for that. There have been some really good Star Wars video games.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Yeah. And somehow I think this is going to be the best one yet. It looks pretty pigeon.
Look, it doesn't even have to be the best one yet to be really good, right? So,
true. That's very true.
So I'd be happy with it if it's just decent compared to the others because, I mean, you know, it's a nice way to get back into the Star Wars universe. And
yeah, we'll see.
I played a whole bunch of X-Wing versus TIE Fighter.
Oh, yeah, I remember that.
Back
oh,
in the day. Oh. I played a ton of that. Oh, man.
Did you ever play where you would just, like, stop flying and just sit there in space and rotate in 360 degrees?
No, I can't say I did that.
X-Wing versus TIE Fighter?
Yeah. In the
God, that used to drive me nuts when people did that.
I would do it in the Y-wing because you had that massive cannon
mm-hmm.
for bombing or whatever, really. But like, you could use that ship to ship too, and it was pretty effective. And so you had a lot of armor or whatever hit points.
So Steam. Steam had a big sale last Christmas and sold like a big pack of Star Wars games. And it was like 10 or so games. And you know, all the Jedi Knight ones, Dark Forces, Battlefront 2, I'm trying to remember some of the other ones, Republic Commando, Empire at War, Knights of the Old Republic, Force Unleashed, all of them for like $10. But it did not have X-Wing versus TIE Fighter, and it broke my heart.
Yeah.
And I've got to figure some way of getting those.
I may still have, not far from where I now sit, since I'm in my parents' house, I may still have my original X-Wing versus TIE Fighter discs.
I found mine last weekend.
Oh, man.
The one I have the warmest feelings about is... the fighting game that Keyshawn and I pretty much met over.
Oh, my God.
Star Wars Masters of Terras Kasi. It was basically Star Wars as
Soul Calibur. Man. Oh, yeah. God. Oh, it just turned me into a 21-year-old. Oh, man. Wow. I wonder if... I'm Googling, and actually, I'm just searching for it.
Oh, you know what? Since I bought a PS1 just the other day off eBay for $20, I should see if I can find that game.
Oh, you should.
Yeah.
But like everything Star Wars and related that's of any age, you may end up paying a lot for it.
That's true.
I don't know. Excellent. Let's see. Let's see if Amazon's got it.
Then again, PS1 games are only forward compatible as far as the... Well, they're not forward compatible at all, maybe. I don't remember now. Could the PS2 play PS1 games? I don't think so.
Yes, they could.
Oh, it could?
Pretty sure.
Yeah. $52 on Amazon.
Good Lord. See that?
Let's look on eBay.
More than what you paid for it when it was brand new.
Maybe no, exactly. I think that's almost exactly what you paid. Yeah. Hang on. No, you can get it for like $14 online.
Woo! Okay. Oh, well, maybe that's worth it. Maybe that's
$10.
It.
$10.
Oh, I sure you it was.
Yeah.
Keyshawn punched his bunk bed so many times over that game.
No. You're supposed to fight in the game, not in real life.
I hadn't learned how to say horror game yet.
It's true. This was pre-horror game. This is going way back.
Exactly.
20th century shit.
I wish you guys could see my eBay, like where it shows recently viewed items, and you can see the things that they must think I'm a crazy person. I've got Terras Kasi. I've got 1986 Tops Vince Coleman. Blazing Saddles multi-signed Laserdisc. Look, I have needs.
No.
They know everything about you.
They really do. I mean,
they have a category for you.
That's right. That's right. They line these things
up
together.
This guy's going to
kill everyone
to go
in 2 weeks. Terras Kasi. Oh, man. On a PlayStation 1. Son of a bitch.
Man.
Where did you get a PlayStation 1 at?
Me? I don't know. Some dude on eBay.
Nice.
I've been playing through the old... Because I discovered last year that the first 9 installments of Final Fantasy can be played on PlayStation 1 due to various re-releases. And I wanted to go back and play 5 and 6. Because when I was little and had time for that, they hadn't been released here. Well, 6 had been, but I just... I, I got bad advice from a friend that's, who I think just was having a bad day and told me it wasn't very good. But I've since recanted on that. And moreover, I've come to discover it's considered to be one of the best in the entire fucking series.
Well.
But I needed to get a PS1. My younger brother had one that just was sitting on doing nothing. And then so I played that for a while, but it eventually it gave up the ghost. So I was in a situation where I needed to, you know, get it off eBay. So just bought a new one.
Does how far does it go? Does, like, Tactics, is that on PS1 as well?
Almost positive it is.
Yeah, I seem to recall a friend, friend of mine playing a lot of Final Fantasy Tactics.
Yeah, that's a popular one as well. I believe the first one you cannot play is Final Fantasy X.
Well, yeah, that's a PS2 game.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was a massive game, if I remember correctly. I seem to recall Ari played that and just, like, put tons and tons of hours into it.
It was a big one, yeah. But, yeah. Yeah, our good friend Mike, that we mentioned sometimes on this podcast, he and I, like, really bonded over when we were really little playing Final Fantasy IV. We just adored the hell out of that game. Which is apropos, because it's actually heavily inspired by Star Wars.
Interesting. I didn't know that. Yeah. I didn't know that. I was always a Dragon Warrior person, not a Final Fantasy person, to the extent that there are differences between. I mean, it's just, you know, my parents happened to. Actually, the way it happened was I asked for Double Dragon and accidentally got Dragon Warrior and then really liked it, so it didn't matter.
You got the you got the BB-8 with the wheel.
Yeah. Nice. But that's okay. I ended up really liking Dragon Warrior and playing a lot of it. And,
I don't think my parents ever made that mistake when I was little. I think that's a rite of passage that I missed out on. They were pretty good about figuring out what to get when we asked for something like that.
Yeah, you know, I experienced that disappointment for the, you know, I was like, oh, this isn't the right thing. But, I didn't want to feel, so I like, you know, I said, well, okay, whatever. I remember thinking to myself, no, I shouldn't make my parents feel like it. You know, this was a gift, whatever. Mm-hmm. And then I felt really proud of myself immediately afterwards for being so mature, which I think means that I don't get any credit for being mature there. But then I ended up starting to play it, and I was like, oh, yeah, that's actually really cool. And, of course, that's the first game. That's the first, like, my first introduction to role-playing games, I guess. Like, video, RPG video games. And so it was just like this grind, you know.
Mine was the board game. Don't blank out on the name. It's a great game. It was Milton Bradley's adaptation of D&D, essentially. Hero Quest.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know if you guys played that or not. That was my indoctrination into that stuff.
Wait, there was a Hero Quest video game?
No, it was a board game.
Yeah, okay. The board game, sure. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah.
There was AD&D and Final Fantasy IV, or Final Fantasy the original, actually, on Nintendo.
Yeah. That was one thing I remembered, like, being afraid of with D&D, like with tabletop games, is that you would have to grind a lot in order to. I don't know, win.
Because you had to grind in Final Fantasy?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, in RPG video games, it's like, well, there is a win condition. In tabletop games, it's like, well, you're just there to have fun. Did you have fun? Then you won, right? So, like, there's no sense in which you're like, yeah, I got to grind until I can use this new, you know, hammer, which doesn't work till level 5.
To be fair to Final Fantasy, they got that out of the series pretty quickly.
Yeah, it's true. And I mean,
the only one that I remember being just miserable is the very first one.
Yeah. I mean, I think grind. They did figure out a way of getting grind out of most video games up until they became like subscription based, and at that point
they
just
had
to. Yeah, they had to figure out how to get more grind in there just to keep people playing it, right?
Yeah.
So that's how it goes. But man, those games are. I think I told you about this. At some point, I went back and started playing Nintendo games on an emulator.
We were still living together at the time, man.
Yeah. This was when we were still living together. Finally, I worked my way through that last few levels of Ninja Gaiden. Oh, my God. My thumb was numb for days just on that those last few levels of Ninja Gaiden are just so abusively hard. Man, I felt proud when I got through it, even though it was on an emulator. And yeah.
Oh yeah, totally.
I could restore state from the beginning of the level, but still, holy crap, those were hard.
I love that you introduced me to that DuckTales re-release. That was awesome.
Oh yeah, that's so great. I forgot about that.
You did a great job with it.
That was at PAX South, right? That we talked about, or that we played that?
It's Saturday night.
A hot Saturday night it was. DuckTales. Yeah. DuckTales and Too Many Cooks and, man, everything.
Oh, really, God damn it. Now I've got to watch it.
All right. Well, how about I let you guys go do that? Keyshawn and Xavier, thanks for being here. And
thanks for having me.
And thanks for sitting on your hands, because I know you wanted to talk
twice as much as you did. We're going to unleash. We are going to unleash when this movie comes out.
That sounded sexual.
I will.
We are all sure that you will.
Riyad Wabi, you are my favorite Dragon Warrior.
Well, thank you. Fortune smiles upon me.
Now I found the herb. Oh, it sounds like a weed joke now, 20 years after the fact. 25 years after the fact.
I'm going to take a picture when I drive across the Colorado state line and then somehow Photoshop in Fortune Smiles Upon Me.
Fantastic. You should totally do that.
I'll figure out something there.
Hey, real quick before we close it out, I think I'm going to do a new Full of Sound and Fury logo. And what I had in my head was it's going to be like the four of us walking away, like slow walking away from like an atom bomb in the background. How do you guys want to be dressed?
Shouldn't we be walking towards the explosion? Like, you're gonna have
that thing from the Madden trailer, where it's like them and it's like Janet and the other guy and the T-Rex for some reason walking away from the mushroom cloud.
Obviously I should be in a wheelchair.
Okay. Well, I was going to let you be a Jedi, but teach his own.
I think Keyshawn Xavier should be basically a ball-headed Charles
Xavier. Now, do you want the cool, like, Shi'ar version of the wheelchair? Or?
Yes. Okay. I think that's the way to go with it.
All right.
I would love to look like the guy from Fallout 3 with dog meat in tow, his dog.
Interesting. But, I'm not that familiar with that. You might have to, like, send me some reference on that.
All right. Oh, speaking of which, I retweeted this, but this is something everyone should go and track down. There is on YouTube, or I tweeted it, I should say. There is on YouTube a music video called Wazer Rifle, like laser rifle, but with a kid with a lisp. So Wazer Rifle. And it is hilarious. So everyone should watch it because it's a great Fallout 3
music
video.
It sounds mean. Is it funny?
No. There's a kid in Fallout 3 who has a lisp, and his name is Billy, and he has a wazer rifle. And so this is like in Fallout there are these weapons that are unique, and they have their own names. And there's a normal rifle called the laser rifle, but this one is the wazer rifle, and it's. So there's a great like video that's like nerd rap about the Wazer Rifle. It's hilarious. It's by Open-Minded. So check it out.
One last thing, not a spoiler, but it's a name of the big Star Destroyer that you see in the trailer. It's called the Finalizer.
That's pretty great.
Yeah, I was happy with that.
I thought that was the sequel to the Equalizer. No?
The Finalizer.
The Equalizer : The Finalizer. Dawn of Justice.
The Sequelizer.
Damn it.
It's Equalizer 2, The Sequelizer. Equalizer 3, The Finalizer. You know.
I hate myself. So mad. I'm disappointed in myself as a creative person.
I rarely do that.
Oh, man. I got the full Judd right there. Oh, yeah, and I'm doing an outro. I forgot. And I've been Cyrus Mortizalvi, and I've just been shamed. This episode and previous episodes of Full of Sound and Fury podcast can be listened to at fulofsoundandfury.com or via subscription to iTunes. This has been a Rise Again production, copyright 2015.